Good morning. Happy Sunday to you, or whenever you're choosing to listen or watch this online. It's still quite a shock, really, to be in the situation we're in, to be live streaming. We are hoping to introduce a few kind of steps into coming back together again, and we'll let you know about those. But we'll need to be online for quite a while yet, I think, so that we can reach as many people as possible. But it will be safe for some of us to be coming back fairly soon. I hope you're having a great August. I hope you're really seeing God work in your life. I have a testimony I'd like to start with. And last weekend, there was a great word from Pastor Andrea, and I had a word of knowledge for somebody. And I remember sitting there, and I really clearly, the Spirit gave me a word about somebody's heart that the Lord was healing. I could see God's hands on this human heart, and that there was a real powerful healing take place. And a member of our congregation, a young man called Matt Honner, he was healed last Sunday morning when he received that word of knowledge. And I know he was with another godly couple in the church, and they prayed together, him and his wife, and this whole family were together in one of our kind of leaders' homes. And the word of the Lord was action. So let me just read this story. I hope you'll really be encouraged in your faith. Matt writes, I've been really experiencing an ongoing undiagnosed heart problem for 3 years. I'd get palpitations, go shaky and pale, and would have to stop what I was doing immediately or it would get worse. No matter what the doctors tested me for, they couldn't find the cause. I've ended up missing months of work, and throughout this problem resulting in severe loss of income for my family. And as a result of missing so much work, I've been forced to leave my job and seek new employment. Only 3 weeks ago, I was in hospital for chest pains, and I genuinely believed that I'd had a heart attack. And since I've been regularly having bursts of fast heart rate and discomfort from that time on. However, since the service on Sunday when the word of knowledge came for healing, I have experienced no symptoms, none. Now, I talked to Matt, and he said he was getting symptoms every day, and he said he's had nothing. He said, I believe in the healing power of God, that he forgives all our sins, and he heals us when we're sick, from Psalm 103. And I truly believe that God has healed me, and I have faith that the problems of my heart are gone. I feel stronger and healthier than I have for years, and I feel capable of doing anything through Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this total turnaround in my life, and thank you for seeing us through the hard times throughout. You are truly worthy of all praise. Isn't that an amazing story? Young man's life was being hindered, and really quality of life for him and his family was being greatly reduced through this sickness. And God has healed him. He's had no symptoms since then. And I just want to just declare to you today that no matter what your situation is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for Matt, what he did that we read of, the stories in the Bible, he will do for you today. And I have a word from God. I believe it's been running in my own heart. It's been working in me. And I'd like to share with you a word that I believe is going to be a turnaround for many people who are listening today. And for many people who are listening that want to minister to other people, because I believe that we're not just to receive the word for ourselves, but we're here to see that word work in our lives and families and communities. And I recently said to the Lord something which is, you could misread it. I said to the Lord, why, Lord, am I so annoyed? Why am I so annoyed? And I know personally as a Christian, and I'm sure you do, the Holy Spirit lives in us, that when we're wrong, and there's a wrong annoyance, it's an unrighteousness, it's a sin. When we're annoyed at people, and when we get frustrated, and we lack patience, I know that I need to say sorry to the Lord and sometimes to other people. But this annoyance was rooted in me being annoyed about a godly couple's life who have been inundated with trouble, one thing after another, and they've served God all their lives, and they just see one thing after another, health, their economic situation, all kinds of things are happening in their lives. Now, I know that it's not sin. Sin isn't the problem with them. And I know the problem is never God. And so maybe, just maybe, I was annoyed because the enemy was at work. And today, I believe that we need to uncover that kind of holy annoyance in us at the enemy. Because Jesus came not just to restore mankind to God, but to restore the kingdom of heaven on earth and to bring everything that was lost to mankind back, whether it's peace, whether it's victory over the enemy, whether it's forgiveness of sins, whatever it is, Jesus, through the cross, did the work. He said, "It is finished," from the cross. And from that victory, we can live in victory as God's people and bring victory to other people. And so my question is to you this morning, if you've prayed and done everything you know to do and got everything you know right in God's eyes, and you're still not seeing that situation change, maybe, and we need the Holy Spirit and the Word to reveal it, but maybe, just maybe, it's the enemy. And Christians, we just before I carry on, we just need to know Christians can't be possessed by an evil spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And wherever he is, the devil definitely can't be. But the enemy does influence Christians and definitely does use unbelievers, and he uses spirits to afflict and bring disease and all kinds of torment to people who aren't saved. But we can't be possessed by the enemy. I think it's really important as Christians, born again and have the Holy Spirit living in us. Now, if we're going to look at this, we're going to look at the Word of God together. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Just read these couple of verses. Father, I thank you today that there's a right annoyance, and I pray that your Word and your Spirit would enter into our hearts and lives, that our minds would be renewed so that we can actually see that possibly the problem is the enemy in a particular situation. And Lord, when people have been battling and weary and prayed and done everything they know to do, I pray this word would bring light and faith to them, and that today will be a day of victory for many people, and that your people will bring victory to multitudes, to loads of people all the way around them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 13. And it's speaking about what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And you, being dead in your trespasses or sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, and having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers — that's speaking of Satan, the powers of darkness — having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's the work of the cross. That's the cross. When Jesus came, he came to make men right, men and women, people right with God. But he also came to make life right, the outworking of our lives right. Jesus didn't come just to save our souls, to bring forgiveness. Now, this is already good news. This is saying that we had a debt to pay. And in the day that this was written, people used to have their debts written out on a piece of paper. It was like an IOU. And it's almost like this is a picture, really, of our sins. The list, my sins would be endless, and actually yours would be too. the things we've done against God and against man, other people. There's a whole list there that went up and was nailed to the cross. And from that work of salvation that Jesus took our debts, the debt of sin, we now have the price paid. All those sins are forgiven. And we no longer owe anything. Now that's the power of Jesus. Those who believe in him and receive him, we don't owe anything for our sins because Jesus paid for all our sins. But also through the cross, there is another dimension of victory which is spoken of here in Colossians, excuse me. And that victory is the victory over powers and principalities, over Satan. He disarmed the enemy and took him captive. And that is a victory he won for you and I. So we are to believe two things here. Believe that he died and took the price for our sins. But in this scripture it says that Jesus won the victory over the enemy. And that Satan has been defeated through the cross. Which means that happened 2,000 years ago. And because of what Jesus did, you and I as believers now have the authority to enforce that victory of the cross on the enemy and to rule and reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. He has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And Jesus says, nothing shall by any means harm you. That's something you already have if you're a believer. You also have the presence of the risen, victorious Christ in you through the work and power of the Holy Spirit. God is in you. Greater is he who is in you than the one that is in the world, than the enemy. And so the greater one is here. And you as a believer have authority. That means the right to exercise and rule over all the power of the enemy. There was this story told, and I thought it was a great illustration of the power of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And it's a story of an American prisoner of war. And he was taken captive by the Japanese in World War II. And his name was, he was a general, he was the only American general taken captive, General Wainwright. And as time went on in this prisoner of war camp, he got weaker and feeble, and it was terrible, terrible conditions that he was living under. Well, without him knowing, the Allies won the war. And they sent telegrams to every prisoner of war camp saying, we've won now. Let the captains or those who are in command take control of those camps. Well, of course, their captors still wanted to stay in control. And the information hadn't come to the Americans or the Allies in the camp. And so they still acted as though they were in charge. And one day, eventually, Americans came. And they came to the fence, and General Wainwright was there at the fence. And he stood there weak and feeble, and the American soldier saluted him and said, sir, we won the war a long time ago. We're in charge. And General Wainwright didn't say anything. He just saluted back, and weak, exhausted, feeble, he walked into the Japanese commander's office and said these words, my commander-in-chief has won over your commander-in-chief. I'm in charge now. He didn't shout. He just took command. And from that moment on, the right authority was back in place and he could see the victory, really, that was won somewhere else. And that's basically the life of a believer. What Jesus has won for us means that you and I are not to live as captives to or under the influence of Satan. But because he himself is present, but also he won the victory 2,000 years ago, our commander-in-chief, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, has won. And so today we are to take charge, not over people, please. This is a spiritual battle. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. I know sometimes, you know, your annoyance can be directed against people, and there's a righteous annoyance against people who abuse others, and that's got to be dealt with in love, but it needs standing up to. But when it comes to the enemy, we are to take charge because we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to take charge. And you know, in these days, the enemy, we like to think of the enemy as being over in another country. Oh, they have a lot of demons over in the Philippines, or they have a lot of demons and witchcraft over in Africa. But actually, people in Africa think there's a whole lot of demons over in Europe. The thing is, the enemy is very much around, and we need to have the enemy unmasked so that we can recognize who he is, what he's doing, and take charge, because our commander-in-chief has given us authority. He's won the victory, and we can take authority over all the power of the enemy. In the ministry of Jesus, if you read through the Gospels, often when there was healing, deliverance was mentioned alongside. He healed them and delivered them. Many cast out many demons. So there was this expelling of demons with the ministry of Christ. And he told his disciples to do the same. He told his believers to expel demons, to deliver people. And he also expected his people to take charge, to submit to God as our commander-in-chief, to live under God. But Satan is to live under us because we are in charge, because Jesus has won the victory. In his name, we stand against every evil power. And so, like the prisoners of war, we're not to be prisoners of war. We're to be victors. We're to win in life. The Bible says in Galatians 5, it is for freedom Christ has set you free. He's set you free from sin, and he's set you free from Satan. He delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we need to unmask the enemy. And this morning, we're going to move into a bit of an activity time, a ministry time. But before that, I'd like to identify three enemies we face. And I would imagine in some way or another we've faced them all, one way or another, whether in our own lives or in the lives of other people. And the first one we're going to look at is in Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. Isn't that a great story? The prisoner of war. We're no longer prisoners of war. Our commander-in-chief has won the victory. Now, in this situation, Paul, he knows he has the victory over the enemy. He understands what you and I have heard today, that we've got authority over all the power of the enemy. And it says in verse 16, they were going to prayer. As they went to prayer, a certain slave girl, now she was owned therefore by other people, masters, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. Often the enemy is not just a one-off thing. It's a many-day thing. Many days. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. And Paul, now you see this, you remember I started, why am I so annoyed? Greatly annoyed. There it is. Paul was walking with God. He was serving God, preaching the gospel, and suddenly he gets annoyed. But I want you to notice he doesn't get annoyed with the person. He addresses the Spirit working through that person. Very important. He addresses the Spirit. And it's a spirit of divination. It's one of the few times that a spirit is given a name in the book of Acts. A spirit of divination. It's fortune telling. It's about knowledge. And actually this spirit was keeping people captive by declaring that I know Paul, which is true. He was a servant of the Most High. I know things about Paul. But it was also trying to keep people serving the deceiving spirit. Mixture of truth and lies. And many times, you know, we need discernment, not just for what's completely wrong, but for things that seem to be right, but they're absolutely the wrong spirit. Now, Paul says to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. So he confronted, he spoke in faith, and the spirit came out of that girl, and she was free, and Paul was free. Because this spirit, it's actually divination is the Greek translation is python. It was when a python comes, it's the kind of snake that coils around you and starts to slowly crush, suffocate, and actually take the breath out of you, the life. And wherever there's breath, it's speaking about your spiritual life. And sometimes as we walk serving God, there can be these evil spirits that come to take the breath out, that squeeze the life out of us. We're not doing anything wrong. We're not sinning. It's a spiritual attack against Paul and against the fruitfulness of the gospel. And Paul, you notice he got annoyed? And sometimes we have to get to boiling point against the enemy before we'll use our authority. And I think maybe Paul was praying, what's going on here, Lord? Why am I getting annoyed? A bit like me. This is the enemy. This is the work of the enemy. And we need to address it and we need to command the enemy to flee. The other situation, I'm not going to look at it with you through the scriptures, but you can look at it yourself in 1 Samuel 17, was David. And he was anointed to be the king of Israel, but as of that time, he wasn't. He was just someone who walked with God. He was a worshiper. He saw victories personally. And you remember the army of Israel, the people of God, they were in a battle with the Philistine army. And nothing, not a shot was fired. But what would happen is every day, actually day and night, Goliath, this huge giant, would come out and intimidate them with his words. And say, you pick one man from your team to fight me. And everything about Goliath loomed large. And that's what the enemy does. When he uses fear and intimidation, your problem looms large. Gets so big, it overwhelms you, and it actually dominates your life. And Jesus came for us to be free, not dominated by intimidation or fear of something bad happening. People who live with, I'm not talking about fear of spiders. I'm talking about fear of big things, of not making it, not surviving, fear of death, fear of sickness, fear of everything going wrong. God has not given us, as children of God, a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And so Goliath would come and intimidate. And if you've ever been intimidated day and night, and often the day starts with it, the night starts with it, goes through the day and the night, you need to know there's a spirit behind it. There is a spirit of fear, not just a feeling of fear. And the scriptures unlock to us the key for victory starts with what David did. He walked onto that field and he looked at the situation with God's eyes, with faith in God. God's here. God doesn't want this to happen. This is not right. Immediately he says, this isn't in harmony with God's will. God does not want his people intimidated, fearful, on the back foot, doing nothing, because often fear makes you do nothing. You don't move towards the future and hope God has for you because there's a Goliath in the way. And let's call this demon a Goliath or a spirit of fear and intimidation because it can be moved through faith and using our faith to command this evil spirit to go. And David actually said, "How dare you defy the armies of the living God?" In other words, how dare you oppose? How dare you challenge? And he says, "I command you." He came against that evil spirit working through that giant. "I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty." The name above all is the name of Jesus. And we have victory through the name. But we need to use our faith and issue a command, like General Wainwright. "I'm taking charge." And I love this because David wasn't just doing it for himself. He was doing it for other people. And you know, other people won't be free until we take charge of the spiritual atmosphere around us. We are to take charge, church. We're here to reign in life. We're here to bring the kingdom, which means the rule of God on earth as it is in heaven. David was doing the will of God when he addressed this evil spirit that was intimidating God's people. And finally, the third spirit that I'd like to unmask. If you turn to Luke, we just look at this briefly. Excuse me, I'm a bit croaky today. But it won't stop me speaking, and I hope it's not hindering your listening. Luke chapter 13. Jesus is teaching in one of the synagogues in verse 10, and there is a woman there, and she had a spirit of infirmity. I want you to notice the word says a spirit of infirmity or a spirit of affliction. 18 years established, been working a long time on this woman, not in her, upon her. And she was bent over. Her spine had, she'd got this condition where her spine was locked over and she couldn't raise herself up. When Jesus saw her, I believe he said, "That's not right." I think we've just got to get into the mind and heart of Jesus right here. And he looks and he doesn't just say, "Oh, bless her, she's got a problem." He looks and says, "With righteousness, what's right in God's eyes is not this. That's not right." I think a lot of situations Christians can just accept, and the enemy would love it if we just accept it. Like the Japanese who says, "Let's just keep behaving like we're in control." And Christians just lie down, doormat, walk over. But no, we need to start saying, "That just is not right." And the words he spoke in faith, just speaks out, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. You are loosed from your affliction." Now this word loosed is like, means when you've been bound, like with a rope or tied or restricted. Jesus used his authority and he loosed and commanded that spirit to leave. Effectively, you are loosed from this. He didn't shout, he just spoke with authority. He believed that what he said would happen. And he put his hands on her and she was immediately made straight. And then later on, Jesus was addressing the Pharisees, but he also spoke in verse 16 about how this was a righteous healing. It was a righteous deliverance. First the woman was delivered, then she was healed. Verse 16, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it." I think the heart of God is in that think. Think what it would be like 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. And I want to say to you, you may have a long-standing issue in your body, but God's saying to you today, this didn't ought to be. This isn't right. And you need healing, but you also need to be loosed from that affliction. And sometimes affliction, a spirit of affliction, will work in tying you up into addiction, alcoholism. Sometimes it's not just a natural thing, it can be a spiritual thing, and that's why we need discernment. If you've prayed and believed and trusted God to be free, and you know that you're under your commander-in-chief, today is a day we're going to take charge and say, no more will you be afflicted with this spirit of addiction or this spirit that causes pain or a less than life physically in your body. The problem here that Jesus identified, it was an evil spirit. And not every healing, not every sickness is to do with a demon. I mean, Satan's behind it all, through the fall, through sin and Satan. But Jesus came to restore it all and to bring us back to the abundance of life. And life isn't life when you're not winning. Abundant life isn't abundant when you're not seeing the victory. And so these three enemies that we face, this spirit of divination, I wonder if you could just agree where you are today. If you're in your home or if you're listening online right now, we're going to have a time of ministry and the Holy Spirit is going to move through faith. And I believe that as you and I submit to God, our commander-in-chief, and as we resist the devil, he will flee. But I'd like you to speak and act as I speak and act. So it's not just me saying it, but you were in your homes or maybe you're with somebody who needs this freedom, this breaking free today of some kind of bondage, some kind of being tied up by the enemy, some kind of python spirit or this spirit of fear, panic attacks. Come on, let's see as the Lord sees and say, no, we come against these evil spirits that are producing these effects in people's lives. Before we act, you know, speaking in faith is what Paul did. I command you in the name of Jesus. Nothing happened until he said it, until he used his faith and authority. Jesus, nothing happened until he spoke it. And David, nothing happened until he said it. We've got to speak our faith and declare and take charge and say, no, you're under our command now. And we're going to see the victory in people's lives. And we're going to see the victory through our lives for other people. When you go into a public building, and you know sometimes I've been in an airport where the lights go off when it's not being used. But you know there are motion sensors. As you walk in, all the lights go on. And that's what will happen. As you move, God will move. And darkness will flee. And light will come. The kingdom of God will come upon you. And so today is a day of victory, guys. Because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, let's stand and thank him. Right now, if you want to sit, stand, do whatever, but let's respond. Let's thank him that our commander-in-chief won the victory on the cross. Jesus, thank you. That all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. In heaven and earth and under the earth. And that the name of Jesus is above every name. And you have been raised above every power and principality and authority. And that you are Lord. And Lord, thank you that you have given your church, believing believers, authority over all the power of the evil one. Thank you today through your word, Satan is unmasked. Thank you that today, Lord, we can see there are spirits behind what's going on. And this annoyance in us, Lord, let it be something that before we even speak, we know these situations we are facing aren't right. Whether they're economic, physical, whether they are just this oppression and this squeezing the life out of people, we thank you, Lord, that we can be greatly annoyed at the work of the enemy today. Because it isn't going on here on earth as it is in heaven, and that's your will. Lord, as we surrender to you, just submit your life afresh to him. It's really important that if you've been walking out of fellowship with God and others, confess your sin. Just say sorry. Come, return to Jesus and submit to him. It's the place of victory. Father, thank you that we can surrender our lives today and make this a real moment of power. Not a message we're hearing online, but your presence and your word right here, right now. We submit to you. Thank you, you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy, so he has to submit to us. You're our commander in chief. And Lord, we are here to take charge in your name. So in your name, let's speak to the enemy now, not to Jesus. In your name, we command every spirit of divination working against God's people and against the fruitfulness of God's people. This deceiving spirit really in operation. We bind you in Jesus' mighty name. We command you leave God's people alone. And you leave the people we're witnessing to alone. Go in Jesus' name. Lord, I just believe that people are going to be freed up through this moment of commanding and taking charge over these spirits that want to squeeze life out. Thank you that you put life in, and we breathe in your spirit. Refresh, restore us, Lord, that we're so filled with your spirit, nothing will harm us. In Jesus' name. And Lord, like King David, we just say to every looming large giant, problem, situation that brings intimidation and fear, day and night. Come on, church, let's speak. Let's speak to that spirit. We speak to you, spirit of fear and intimidation, and we command you, flee in Jesus' name. Leave now. Any panic attacks and any unreasonable fears and thoughts in the night, Lord, we recognize it's a spirit world fight. And so we take the fight to where it is. And we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, stop speaking. Amen. We silence you. You know, when Goliath, I've just had this word, when Goliath was speaking, it was like spirit of fear coming out of his mouth, words. So silencing the enemy stops him from saying, and fear stops in Jesus' name. Fear stops right now in Jesus' name. And finally, beloved, is there anyone who's bent over, worn out, a person of faith, doing everything right, but you've never seen a victory in your physical condition? There's healing today. Let's come to Jesus in this moment. Jesus called the woman to himself. Let's just come to Jesus. And we're going to speak together and take authority in his name as if he was doing it and loose you from that affliction. Male or female, or child, repeated, ongoing, daily, been there for a long time. Father, thank you for the victory. in the name of Jesus. And I command freedom. I loose you from your affliction, from your spirit, the spirit of infirmity. I loose you and command the enemy, let you go. Jesus, you said, whatever we loose on earth will be loosed. And in Jesus' name, you're free. Now put your hand on your body, and maybe if you're with anybody there, in the name of Jesus Christ, as if Jesus was laying hands on you, be restored and healed. Let the healing power of Jesus flood your body. Be healed, because he already achieved that healing for you. It's not right you're sick. Be healed. Be strengthened. Disease leave. Troubling issues. Been going on a long time. Asthma, leave. That in the name of Jesus, leave. Breathing problems, leave in Jesus' name. Lungs, be free. Just speak to lungs to be free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Not only are we to live in this freedom, but Lord, make us ministers of the freedom of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we live like Jesus, who walked around looking at people, saying, this did not ought to be like this. May we get annoyed at what the enemy's doing. I pray your word today will have stirred our hearts to not settle for what we see, but to only settle for your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Let's use what God has given us, beloved. And the victory is ours today, and we will see and continue to enforce it until Jesus returns. This is part of our great salvation, authority over the enemy. May God bless you as you win in life through the one Jesus Christ. I'm just going to finish with a notice. Next Sunday, if you would like to join us, we'd love to take communion together as a body and all those who are joining us online. So if you could prepare bread and wine, whether it's fruit juice or a piece of cracker or whatever it is, and I just want us to take communion again together as a body. It's part of who we are, and we're to remember always what Jesus has done. So get that ready for next weekend. We'll send an email to all of those who belong to the church. God bless you. Have an amazing, victorious week in Jesus. Good morning. Happy Sunday to you, or whenever you're choosing to listen or watch this online. It's still quite a shock, really, to be in the situation we're in, to be live streaming. We are hoping to introduce a few kind of steps into coming back together again, and we'll let you know about those. But we'll need to be online for quite a while yet, I think, so that we can reach as many people as possible. But it will be safe for some of us to be coming back fairly soon. I hope you're having a great August. I hope you're really seeing God work in your life. I have a testimony I'd like to start with. And last weekend, there was a great word from Pastor Andrea, and I had a word of knowledge for somebody. And I remember sitting there, and I really clearly, the Spirit gave me a word about somebody's heart that the Lord was healing. I could see God's hands on this human heart, and that there was a real powerful healing take place. And a member of our congregation, a young man called Matt Honor, he was healed last Sunday morning when he received that word of knowledge. And I know he was with another godly couple in the church, and they prayed together, him and his wife, and this whole family were together in one of our kind of leaders' homes. And the word of the Lord was action. So let me just read this story. I hope you'll really be encouraged in your faith. Matt writes, I've been really experiencing an ongoing undiagnosed heart problem for 3 years. I'd get palpitations, go shaky and pale, and would have to stop what I was doing immediately or it would get worse. No matter what the doctors tested me for, they couldn't find the cause. I've ended up missing months of work, and throughout this problem resulting in severe loss of income for my family. And as a result of missing so much work, I've been forced to leave my job and seek new employment. Only 3 weeks ago, I was in hospital for chest pains, and I genuinely believed that I'd had a heart attack. And since I've been regularly having bursts of fast heart rate and discomfort from that time on. However, since the service on Sunday when the word of knowledge came for healing, I have experienced no symptoms, none. Now, I talked to Matt, and he said he was getting symptoms every day, and he said he's had nothing. He said, I believe in the healing power of God, that he forgives all our sins, and he heals us when we're sick, from Psalm 103. And I truly believe that God has healed me, and I have faith that the problems of my heart are gone. I feel stronger and healthier than I have for years, and I feel capable of doing anything through Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this total turnaround in my life, and thank you for seeing us through the hard times throughout. You are truly worthy of all praise. Isn't that an amazing story? Young man's life was being hindered, and really quality of life for him and his family was being greatly reduced through this sickness. And God has healed him. He's had no symptoms since then. And I just want to just declare to you today that no matter what your situation is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for Matt, what he did that we read of, the stories in the Bible, he will do for you today. And I have a word from God. I believe it's been running in my own heart. It's been working in me. And I'd like to share with you a word that I believe is going to be a turnaround for many people who are listening today, and for many people who are listening that want to minister to other people. Because I believe that we're not just to receive the word for ourselves, but we're here to see that word work in our lives and families and communities. And I recently said to the Lord something which is, you could misread it. I said to the Lord, why, Lord, am I so annoyed? Why am I so annoyed? And I know personally as a Christian, and I'm sure you do, the Holy Spirit lives in us, that when we're wrong, and there's a wrong annoyance, it's an unrighteousness, it's a sin. When we're annoyed at people and when we get frustrated and we lack patience, I know that I need to say sorry to the Lord and sometimes to other people. But this annoyance was rooted in me being annoyed about a godly couple's life who have been inundated with trouble, one thing after another. And they've served God all their lives, and they just see one thing after another, health, their economic situation, all kinds of things are happening in their lives. Now, I know that it's not sin. Sin isn't the problem with them. And I know the problem is never God. And so maybe, just maybe, I was annoyed because the enemy was at work. And today, I believe that we need to uncover that kind of holy annoyance in us at the enemy. Because Jesus came not just to restore mankind to God, but to restore the kingdom of heaven on earth and to bring everything that was lost to mankind back, whether it's peace, whether it's victory over the enemy, whether it's forgiveness of sins, whatever it is, Jesus, through the cross, did the work. He said, it is finished, from the cross. And from that victory, we can live in victory as God's people and bring victory to other people. And so my question is to you this morning, if you've prayed and done everything you know to do, and got everything you know right in God's eyes, and you're still not seeing that situation change, maybe, and we need the Holy Spirit and the Word to reveal it, but maybe, just maybe, it's the enemy. And Christians, we just before I carry on, we just need to know Christians can't be possessed by an evil spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And wherever he is, the devil definitely can't be. But the enemy does influence Christians and definitely does use unbelievers, and he uses spirits to afflict and bring disease and all kinds of torment to people who aren't saved. But we can't be possessed by the enemy. I think it's really important as Christians, born again and have the Holy Spirit living in us. Now, if we're going to look at this, we're going to look at the Word of God together, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Just read these couple of verses. Father, I thank you today that there's a right annoyance, and I pray that your Word and your Spirit would enter into our hearts and lives, that our minds would be renewed, so that we can actually see that possibly the problem is the enemy in a particular situation. And Lord, when people have been battling and weary and prayed and done everything they know to do, I pray this word would bring light and faith to them, and that today will be a day of victory for many people, and that your people will bring victory to multitudes, to loads of people all the way around them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 13. And it's speaking about what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And you being dead in your trespasses or sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, and having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers — that's speaking of Satan, the powers of darkness — having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's the work of the cross, that's the cross. When Jesus came, he came to make men right, men and women, people right with God. But he also came to make life right, the outworking of our lives right. Jesus didn't come just to save our souls, to bring forgiveness. Now, this is already good news. This is saying that we had a debt to pay. And in the day that this was written, people used to have their debts written out on a piece of paper. It was like an IOU. And it's almost like this is a picture, really, of our sins. The list, my sins would be endless, and actually yours would be too. The things we've done against God and against man, other people, there's a whole list there that went up and was nailed to the cross. And from that work of salvation, that Jesus took our debts, the debt of sin, we now have the price paid. All those sins are forgiven, and we no longer owe anything. Now, that's the power of Jesus. Those who believe in him and receive him, we don't owe anything for our sins, because Jesus paid for all our sins. But also through the cross, there is another dimension of victory, which is spoken of here in Colossians. Excuse me. And that victory is the victory over powers and principalities, over Satan. He disarmed the enemy and took him captive. And that is a victory he won for you and I. So we are to believe two things here. Believe that he died and took the price for our sins. But in this scripture it says that Jesus won the victory over the enemy, and that Satan has been defeated through the cross, which means that happened 2,000 years ago. And because of what Jesus did, you and I as believers now have the authority to enforce that victory of the cross on the enemy. and to rule and reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. He has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And Jesus says, nothing shall by any means harm you. That's something you already have if you're a believer. You also have the presence of the risen, victorious Christ in you through the work and power of the Holy Spirit. God is in you. Greater is he who is in you than the one that is in the world, than the enemy. And so the greater one is here, and you as a believer have authority. That means the right to exercise and rule over all the power of the enemy. There was this story told, and I thought it was a great illustration of the power of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And it's a story of an American prisoner of war. And he was taken captive by the Japanese in World War II. And his name was, he was a general, he was the only American general taken captive, General Wainwright. And as time went on in this prisoner of war camp, he got weaker and feeble, and it was terrible, terrible conditions that he was living under. Well, without him knowing, the Allies won the war. And they sent telegrams to every prisoner of war camp saying, we've won now. Let the captains or those who are in command take control of those camps. Well, of course, their captors still wanted to stay in control. And the information hadn't come to the Americans or the Allies in the camp. And so they still acted as though they were in charge. And one day, eventually, Americans came. And they came to the fence, and General Wainwright was there at the fence. And he stood there weak and feeble, and the American soldiers saluted him and said, sir, we won the war a long time ago. We're in charge. And General Wainwright didn't say anything. He just saluted back, and weak, exhausted, feeble, he walked into the Japanese commander's office and said these words, my commander-in-chief has won over your commander-in-chief. I'm in charge now. He didn't shout, he just took command. And from that moment on, the right authority was back in place, and he could see the victory, really, that was won somewhere else. And that's basically the life of a believer. What Jesus has won for us means that you and I are not to live as captives to or under the influence of Satan. But because he himself is present, but also he won the victory 2,000 years ago, our commander-in-chief, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, has won. And so today we are to take charge, not over people, please. This is a spiritual battle. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. I know sometimes, you know, your annoyance can be directed against people, and there's a righteous annoyance against people who abuse others, and that's got to be dealt with in love, but it needs standing up to. But when it comes to the enemy, we are to take charge because we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to take charge. And you know, in these days, the enemy, we like to think of the enemy as being over in another country. Oh, they have a lot of demons over in the Philippines, or they have a lot of demons and witchcraft over in Africa. But actually, people in Africa think there's a whole lot of demons over in Europe. The thing is, the enemy is very much around, and we need to have the enemy unmasked so that we can recognize who he is, what he's doing, and take charge, because our commander-in-chief has given us authority. He's won the victory, and we can take authority over all the power of the enemy. In the ministry of Jesus, If you read through the Gospels, often when there was healing, deliverance was mentioned alongside. He healed them and delivered them, cast out many demons. So there was this expelling of demons with the ministry of Christ. And he told his disciples to do the same. He told his believers to expel demons, to deliver people. And he also expected his people to take charge, to submit to God as our commander-in-chief, to live under God. But Satan is to live under us because we are in charge, because Jesus has won the victory. In his name, we stand against every evil power. And so, like the prisoners of war, we're not to be prisoners of war. We're to be victors. We're to win in life. The Bible says in Galatians 5, it is for freedom Christ has set you free. He's set you free from sin, and he's set you free from Satan. He delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So, we need to unmask the enemy. And this morning, we're going to move into a bit of an activity time, a ministry time. But before that, I'd like to identify three enemies we face. And I would imagine in some way or another we've faced them all, one way or another, whether in our own lives or in the lives of other people. And the first one we're going to look at is in Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. Isn't that a great story? The prisoner of war. We're no longer prisoners of war. Our commander-in-chief has won the victory. Now, in this situation, Paul, he knows he has the victory over the enemy. He understands what you and I have heard today, that we've got authority over all the power of the enemy. And it says in verse 16, they were going to prayer. As they went to prayer, a certain slave girl, now she was owned, therefore, by other people, masters, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. Often the enemy is not just a one-off thing, it's a many-day thing. Many days, it keeps coming, it keeps coming, it keeps coming. And Paul, now you see this, you remember I started, why am I so annoyed? Greatly annoyed. There it is. Paul was walking with God, he was serving God, preaching the gospel, and suddenly he gets annoyed. But I want you to notice he doesn't get annoyed with the person. He addresses as the spirit working through that person. Very important. He addresses the spirit. And it's a spirit of divination. It's one of the few times that a spirit is given a name in the book of Acts. A spirit of divination. It's fortune telling. It's about knowledge. And actually this spirit was keeping people captive by declaring that I know Paul. Which is true. He was a servant of the Most High. I know things about Paul. But it was also trying to keep people serving the deceiving spirit. Mixture of truth and lies. And many times, you know, we need discernment, not just for what's completely wrong, but for things that seem to be right, but they're absolutely the wrong spirit. Now, Paul says to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." So he confronted, he spoke in faith, and the spirit came out of that girl. And she was free, and Paul was free. Because this spirit is actually, divination is, the Greek translation is python. It was, when a python comes, it's the kind of snake that coils around you and starts to slowly crush, suffocate, and actually take the breath out of you, the life. And wherever there's breath, it's speaking about your spiritual life. And sometimes as we walk serving God, there can be these evil spirits that come to take the breath out, that squeeze the life out of us. We're not doing anything wrong. We're not sinning. It's a spiritual attack against Paul and against the fruitfulness of the gospel. And Paul, you notice he got annoyed? And sometimes we have to get to boiling point against the enemy before we'll use our authority. And I think maybe Paul was praying, what's going on here, Lord? Why am I getting annoyed? A bit like me. This is the enemy. This is the work of the enemy. And we need to address it, and we need to command the enemy to flee. The other situation, I'm not going to look at it with you through the scriptures, but you can look at it yourself in 1 Samuel 17, was David. And he was anointed to be the king of Israel, but as of that time, he wasn't. He was just someone who walked with God. He was a worshiper. He saw victories personally. And you remember the army of Israel, the people of God, they were in a battle with the Philistine army. And nothing, not a shot was fired. But what would happen is every day, actually day and night, Goliath, this huge giant, would come out and intimidate them with his words and say, you pick one man from your team to fight me. And everything about Goliath loomed large. And that's what the enemy does. When he uses fear and intimidation, your problem looms large, gets so big it overwhelms you, and it actually dominates your life. And Jesus came for us to be free, not dominated by intimidation or fear of something bad happening. People who live with, I'm not talking about fear of spiders. I'm talking about fear of big things, of not making it, not surviving, fear of death, fear of sickness, fear of everything going wrong. God has not given us, as children of God, a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And so Goliath would come and intimidate. And if you've ever been intimidated day and night, and often the day starts with it, the night starts with it, goes through the day and the night, you need to know there's a spirit behind it. There is a spirit of fear, not just a feeling of fear. And the scriptures unlock to us the key for victory starts with what David did. He walked onto that field and he looked at the situation with God's eyes, with faith in God. God's here. God doesn't want this to happen. This is not right. Immediately he says, this isn't in harmony with God's will. God does not want his people intimidated, fearful, on the back foot, doing nothing, because often fear makes you do nothing. You don't move towards the future and hope God has for you because there's a Goliath in the way. And let's call this demon a Goliath or a spirit of fear and intimidation, because it can be moved through faith and using our faith to command this evil spirit to go. And David actually said, how dare you defy the armies of the living God. In other words, how dare you oppose? How dare you challenge? And he says, I command you. He came against that evil spirit working through that giant. I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. The name above all is the name of Jesus. And we have victory through the name. But we need to use our faith and issue a command, like General Wainwright. I'm taking charge. And I love this, because David wasn't just doing it for himself. He was doing it for other people. And you know, other people won't be free until we take charge of the spiritual atmosphere around us. We are to take charge, church. We're here to reign in life. We're here to bring the kingdom, which means the rule of God on earth as it is in heaven. David was doing the will of God when he addressed this evil spirit that was intimidating God's people. And finally, the third spirit that I'd like to unmask. If you turn to Luke, we just look at this briefly. Excuse me, I'm a bit croaky today. But it won't stop me speaking, and I hope it's not hindering your listening. Luke chapter 13. Jesus is teaching in one of the synagogues in verse 10. And there is a woman there. And she had a spirit of infirmity. I want you to notice the word says a spirit of infirmity or a spirit of affliction. 18 years established, been working a long time on this woman. Not in her, upon her. And she was bent over. Her spine had, she'd got this condition where her spine was locked over and she couldn't raise herself up. When Jesus saw her, I believe he said, that's not right. I think we've just got to get into the mind and heart of Jesus right here. And he looks and he doesn't just say, oh, bless her, she's got a problem. He looks and says, with righteousness, what's right in God's eyes is not this. That's not right. I think a lot of situations Christians can just accept, and the enemy would love it if we just accept it. Like the Japanese who says, let's just keep behaving like we're in control. And Christians just lie down, doormat, walk over. But no, we need to start saying, that just is not right. And the words he spoke in faith, just speaks out, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. You are loosed from your affliction. Now this word loosed is like, means when you've been bound, like with a rope or tied or restricted. Jesus used his authority and he loosed and commanded that spirit to leave. Effectively, you are loosed from this. He didn't shout, he just spoke with authority. He believed that what he said would happen. And he put his hands on her and she was immediately made straight. And then later on, Jesus was addressing the Pharisees, but he also spoke in verse 16 about how this was a righteous healing. It was a righteous deliverance. First the woman was delivered, then she was healed. Verse 16, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it. I think the heart of God is in that. Think. Think what it would be like 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. And I want to say to you, you may have a long-standing issue in your body, but God's saying to you today, this didn't ought to be. This isn't right. And you need healing, but you also need to be loosed from that affliction. And sometimes affliction, a spirit of affliction, will work in tying you up into addiction, alcoholism. Sometimes it's not just a natural thing, it can be a spiritual thing, and that's why we need discernment. If you've prayed and believed and trusted God to be free, and you know that you're under your commander-in-chief, today is a day we're going to take charge and say, no more will you be afflicted with this spirit of addiction or this spirit that causes pain or a less than life physically in your body. The problem here that Jesus identified, it was an evil spirit. And not every healing, not every sickness is to do with a demon. I mean, Satan's behind it all through the fall, through sin and Satan. But Jesus came to restore it all and to bring us back to to the abundance of life. And life isn't life when you're not winning. Abundant life isn't abundant when you're not seeing the victory. And so these three enemies that we face, this spirit of divination, I wonder if you could just agree where you are today. If you're in your home or if you're listening online right now, we're going to have a time of ministry and the Holy Spirit is going to move through faith. And I believe that as you and I submit to God, our commander in chief, and as we resist the devil, he will flee. But I'd like you to speak and act as I speak and act. So it's not just me saying it, but you were in your homes, or maybe you're with somebody who needs this freedom, this breaking free today of some kind of bondage, some kind of being tied up by the enemy, some kind of python spirit, or this spirit of fear, panic attacks. Come on, let's see, as the Lord sees and say, no, we come against these evil spirits that are producing these effects in people's lives. Before we act, you know, speaking in faith is what Paul did. I command you in the name of Jesus. Nothing happened until he said it, until he used his faith and authority. Jesus, nothing happened until he spoke it. And David, nothing happened until he said it. We've got to speak our faith and declare and take charge and say, no, you're under our command now. And we're going to see the victory in people's lives. And we're going to see the victory through our lives for other people. When you go into a public building, and you know, sometimes I've been in an airport where the lights go off when it's not being used. But, you know, there are motion sensors. As you walk in, all the lights go on. And that's what will happen. As you move, God will move. And darkness will flee and light will come. The kingdom of God will come upon you. And so today is a day of victory, guys. Because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, let's stand and thank him. Right now, if you want to sit, stand, do whatever, but let's respond. Let's thank him that our commander-in-chief won the victory on the cross. Jesus, thank you that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. In heaven and earth and under the earth. And that the name of Jesus is above every name. And you have been raised above every power and principality and authority, and that you are Lord. And Lord, thank you that you have given your church, believing believers, authority over all the power of the evil one. Thank you today through your word, Satan is unmasked. Thank you that today, Lord, we can see there are spirits behind what's going on. And this annoyance in us, Lord, let it be something that before we even speak, we know these situations we are facing aren't right. Whether they're economic, physical, whether they are just this oppression and this squeezing the life out of people, we thank you, Lord, that we can be greatly annoyed at the work of the enemy today, because it isn't going on here on earth as it is in heaven, and that's your will. Lord, as we surrender to you, just submit your life afresh to him. It's really important that if you've been walking out of fellowship with God and others, confess your sin. Just say sorry. Come, return to Jesus and submit to him. It's the place of victory. Father, thank you that we can surrender our lives today and make this a real moment of power. Not a message we're hearing online, but your presence and your word right here, right now. We submit to you. Thank you, you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy, so he has to submit to us. You're our commander in chief. And Lord, we are here to take charge in your name. So in your name, let's speak to the enemy now, not to Jesus. In your name, we command every spirit of divination working against God's people and against the fruitfulness of God's people. This deceiving spirit really in operation. We bind you in Jesus' mighty name. We command you leave God's people alone and you leave the people we're witnessing to alone. Go in Jesus' name. Lord, I just believe that people are going to be freed up through this moment of commanding and taking charge over these spirits that want to squeeze life out. Thank you that you put life in. And we breathe in your spirit. Refresh, restore us, Lord, that we're so filled with your spirit. Nothing will harm us. In Jesus' name. And Lord, like King David, we just say to every looming large giant, problem, situation that brings intimidation and fear, day and night. Come on, church, let's speak. Let's speak to that spirit. We speak to you, spirit of fear and intimidation, and we command you, flee in Jesus' name. Leave now. Any panic attacks and any unreasonable fears and thoughts in the night, Lord, we recognize it's a spirit world fight. And so we take the fight to where it is. And we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, stop speaking. Amen. We silence you. You know, when Goliath, I've just had this word, when Goliath was speaking, it was like spirit of fear coming out of his mouth, words. So silencing the enemy is stops him from saying, and fear stops in Jesus' name. Fear stops right now in Jesus' name. And finally, beloved, is there anyone who's bent over, worn out, a person of faith, doing everything right, but you've never seen a victory in your physical condition? There's healing today. Let's come to Jesus in this moment. Jesus called the woman to himself. Let's just come to Jesus. And we're going to speak together and take authority in his name as if he was doing it and loose you from that affliction. Male or female, child, repeated, ongoing, daily, been there for a long time. Father, thank you for the victory in the name of Jesus. And I command freedom. I loose you from your affliction, from your spirit, the spirit of infirmity. I loose you. And command the enemy, let you go. Jesus, you said, whatever we loose on earth will be loosed. And in Jesus' name, you're free. Now put your hand on your body, and maybe if you're with anybody there, in the name of Jesus Christ, as if Jesus was laying hands on you, be restored and healed. Let the healing power of Jesus flood your body. Be healed because he already achieved that healing for you. It's not right you're sick. Be healed. Be strengthened. Disease leave. Troubling issues. Been going on a long time. Asthma leave. That in the name of Jesus leave. Breathing problems, leave in Jesus' name. Lungs, be free. Just speak to lungs to be free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Not only are we to live in this freedom, But Lord, make us ministers of the freedom of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we live like Jesus, who walked around looking at people, saying, this did not ought to be like this. May we get annoyed at what the enemy's doing. I pray your word today will have stirred our hearts to not settle for what we see, but to only settle for your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Let's use what God has given us, beloved. And the victory is ours today, and we will see and continue to enforce it until Jesus returns. This is part of our great salvation, authority over the enemy. May God bless you as you win in life through the one Jesus Christ. I'm just going to finish with a notice. Next Sunday, if you would like to join us, we'd love to take communion together as a body and all those who are joining us online. So if you could prepare bread and wine, whether it's fruit juice or a piece of cracker or whatever it is, and I just want us to take communion again together as a body. It's part of who we are, and we're to remember always what Jesus has done. So get that ready for next weekend. We'll send an email to all of those who belong to the church. God bless you. Have an amazing, victorious week in Jesus. Good morning. Happy Sunday to you, or whenever you're choosing to listen or watch this online. It's still quite a shock, really, to be in the situation we're in, to be live streaming. We are hoping to introduce a few kind of steps into coming back together again, and we'll let you know about those. But we'll need to be online for quite a while yet, I think, so that we can reach as many people as possible. But it will be safe for some of us to be coming back fairly soon. I hope you're having a great August. I hope you're really seeing God work in your life. I have a testimony I'd like to start with. And last weekend, there was a great word from Pastor Andrea, and I had a word of knowledge for somebody. And I remember sitting there, and I really clearly, the Spirit gave me a word about somebody's heart that the Lord was healing. I could see God's hands on this human heart, and that there was a real powerful healing take place. And a member of our congregation, a young man called Matt Honor, he was healed last Sunday morning when he received that word of knowledge. And I know he was with another godly couple in the church, and they prayed together, him and his wife, and this whole family were together in one of our kind of leaders' homes. And the word of the Lord was actioned. So let me just read this story. I hope you'll really be encouraged in your faith. Matt writes, I've been really experiencing an ongoing undiagnosed heart problem for 3 years. I'd get palpitations, go shaky and pale, and would have to stop what I was doing immediately or it would get worse. No matter what the doctors tested me for, they couldn't find the cause. I've ended up missing months of work, and throughout this problem resulting in severe loss of income for my family. And as a result of missing so much work, I've been forced to leave my job and seek new employment. Only 3 weeks ago, I was in hospital for chest pains, and I genuinely believed that I'd had a heart attack. And since I've been regularly having bursts of fast heart rate and discomfort from that time on. However, since the service on Sunday when the word of knowledge came for healing, I have experienced no symptoms, none. Now, I talked to Matt, and he said he was getting symptoms every day, and he said he's had nothing. He said, I believe in the healing power of God, that he forgives all our sins, and he heals us when we're sick, from Psalm 103. And I truly believe that God has healed me, and I have faith that the problems of my heart are gone. I feel stronger and healthier than I have for years, and I feel capable of doing anything through Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this total turnaround in my life. And thank you for seeing us through the hard times throughout. You are truly worthy of all praise. Isn't that an amazing story? Young man's life was being hindered, and really quality of life for him and his family was being greatly reduced through this sickness. And God has healed him. He's had no symptoms since then. And I just want to just declare to you today that no matter what your situation is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for Matt, what he did that we read of, the stories in the Bible, he will do for you today. And I have a word from God. I believe it's been running in my own heart. It's been working in me. And I'd like to share with you a word that I believe is going to be a turnaround for many people who are listening today, and for many people who are listening that want to minister to other people. Because I believe that we're not just to receive the word for ourselves, but we're here to see that word work in our lives and families and communities. And I recently said to the Lord something which is, you could misread it. I said to the Lord, "Why, Lord, am I so annoyed? Why am I so annoyed?" And I know personally as a Christian, and I'm sure you do, the Holy Spirit lives in us, that when we're wrong, and there's a wrong annoyance, it's an unrighteousness, it's a sin. When we're annoyed at people, and when we get frustrated, and we lack patience, I know that I need to say sorry to the Lord and sometimes to other people. But this annoyance was rooted in me being annoyed about a godly couple's life who have been inundated with trouble, one thing after another. And they've served God all their lives, and they just see one thing after another, health, their economic situation, all kinds of things are happening in their lives. Now, I know that it's not sin. Sin isn't the problem with them. And I know the problem is never God. And so maybe, just maybe, I was annoyed because the enemy was at work. And today, I believe that we need to uncover that kind of holy annoyance in us at the enemy. Because Jesus came not just to restore mankind to God, but to restore the kingdom of heaven on earth. And to bring everything that was lost to mankind back, whether it's peace, whether it's victory over the enemy, whether it's forgiveness of sins, whatever it is, Jesus, through the cross, did the work. He said, "It is finished," from the cross. And from that victory, we can live in victory as God's people and bring victory to other people. And so my question is to you this morning. If you've prayed and done everything you know to do and got everything you know right in God's eyes and you're still not seeing that situation change, maybe, and we need the Holy Spirit and the Word to reveal it, but maybe, just maybe, it's the enemy. And Christians, we just before I carry on, we just need to know Christians can't be possessed by an evil spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and wherever he is, the devil definitely can't be. But the enemy does influence Christians and definitely does use unbelievers, and he uses spirits to afflict and bring disease and all kinds of torment to people who aren't saved. But we can't be possessed by the enemy. I think it's really important as Christians born again and have the Holy Spirit living in us. Now, if we're going to look at this, we're going to look at the Word of God together, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Just read these couple of verses. "Father, I thank you today that there's a right annoyance, and I pray that your Word and your Spirit would enter into our hearts and lives, that our minds would be renewed, so that we can actually see that possibly the problem is the enemy in a particular situation. And Lord, when people have been battling and weary and prayed and done everything they know to do, I pray this word would bring light and faith to them, and that today will be a day of victory for many people, and that your people will bring victory to multitudes, to loads of people all the way around them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 13. And it's speaking about what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And you being dead in your trespasses or sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, and having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, that's speaking of Satan, the powers of darkness, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's the work of the cross, that's the cross. When Jesus came, he came to make men right, men and women, people right with God. But he also came to make life right, the outworking of our lives right. Jesus didn't come just to save our souls, to bring forgiveness. Now, this is already good news. This is saying that we had a debt to pay. And in the day that this was written, people used to have their debts written out on a piece of paper. It was like an IOU. And it's almost like this is a picture, really, of our sins. The list, my sins would be endless, and actually yours would be too. The things we've done against God and against man, other people, there's a whole list there that went up and was nailed to the cross. And from that work of salvation that Jesus took our debts, the debt of sin, we now have the price paid. All those sins are forgiven, and we no longer owe anything. Now that's the power of Jesus. Those who believe in him and receive him, we don't owe anything for our sins because Jesus paid for all our sins. But also through the cross, there is another dimension of victory which is spoken of here in Colossians. Excuse me. And that victory is the victory over powers and principalities, over Satan. He disarmed the enemy and took him captive. And that is a victory he won for you and I. So we are to believe two things here. Believe that he died and took the price for our sins. But in this scripture it says that Jesus won the victory over the enemy, and that Satan has been defeated through the cross, which means that happened 2,000 years ago. And because of what Jesus did, you and I as believers now have the authority to enforce that victory of the cross on the enemy and to rule and reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. He has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And Jesus says, nothing shall by any means harm you. That's something you already have if you're a believer. You also have the presence of the risen, victorious Christ in you through the work and power of the Holy Spirit. God is in you. Greater is he who is in you than the one that is in the world, than the enemy. And so the greater one is here, and you as a believer have authority. That means the right to exercise and rule over all the power of the enemy. There was this story told, and I thought it was a great illustration of the power of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And it's a story of an American prisoner of war. And he was taken captive by the Japanese in World War II. And his name was, he was a general, he was the only American general taken captive, General Wainwright. And as time went on in this prisoner of war camp, he got weaker and feeble. and it was terrible, terrible conditions that he was living under. Well, without him knowing, the Allies won the war. And they sent telegrams to every prisoner of war camp saying, "We've won now. Let the captains or those who are in command take control of those camps." Well, of course, their captors still wanted to stay in control. And the information hadn't come to the Americans or the Allies in the camp. And so they still acted as though they were in charge. And one day, eventually, Americans came. And they came to the fence, and General Wainwright was there at the fence. And he stood there weak and feeble, and the American soldiers saluted him and said, "Sir, we won the war a long time ago. We're in charge." And General Wainwright didn't say anything. He just saluted back, and weak, exhausted, feeble, he walked into the Japanese commander's office and said these words, "My commander-in-chief has won over your commander-in-chief. I'm in charge now." He didn't shout, he just took command. And from that moment on, the right authority was back in place, and he could see the victory, really, that was won somewhere else. And that's basically the life of a believer. What Jesus has won for us means that you and I are not to live as captives to or under the influence of Satan. But because he himself is present, but also he won the victory 2,000 years ago, our commander-in-chief, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, has won. And so today we are to take charge, not over people, please. This is a spiritual battle. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. I know sometimes, you know, your annoyance can be directed against people, and there's a righteous annoyance against people who abuse others, and that's got to be dealt with in love, but it needs standing up to. But when it comes to the enemy, we are to take charge because we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to take charge. And you know, in these days, the enemy, we like to think of the enemy as being over in another country. Oh, they have a lot of demons over in the Philippines, or they have a lot of demons and witchcraft over in Africa. But actually, people in Africa think there's a whole lot of demons over in Europe. The thing is, the enemy is very much around, and we need to have the enemy unmasked so that we can recognize who he is, what he's doing, and take charge, because our commander-in-chief has given us authority. He's won the victory, and we can take authority over all the power of the enemy. In the ministry of Jesus, if you read through the Gospels, often when there was healing, deliverance was mentioned alongside. He healed them and delivered them. Many cast out many demons. So there was this expelling of demons with the ministry of Christ. And he told his disciples to do the same. He told his believers to expel demons, to deliver people. And he also expected his people to take charge, to submit to God as our commander-in-chief, to live under God. But Satan is to live under us because we are in charge, because Jesus has won the victory. In his name, we stand against every evil power. And so, like the prisoners of war, we're not to be prisoners of war. We're to be victors. We're to win in life. The Bible says in Galatians 5, "It is for freedom Christ has set you free. He's set you free from sin, and he's set you free from Satan. He delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." So, we need to unmask the enemy. And this morning, we're going to move into a bit of an activity time, a ministry time. But before that, I'd like to identify three enemies we face. And I would imagine in some way or another, we've faced them all, one way or another, whether in our own lives or in the lives of other people. And the first one we're going to look at is in Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. Isn't that a great story? The prisoner of war. We're no longer prisoners of war. Our commander-in-chief has won the victory. Now, in this situation, Paul, he knows he has the victory over the enemy. He understands what you and I have heard today, that we've got authority over all the power of the enemy. And it says in verse 16, they were going to prayer. As they went to prayer, a certain slave girl, now she was owned therefore by other people, masters, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. Often the enemy is not just a one-off thing. It's a many-day thing. Many days. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. And Paul, now you see this. You remember I started, why am I so annoyed? Greatly annoyed. There it is. Paul was walking with God. He was serving God, preaching the gospel, and suddenly he gets annoyed. But I want you to notice he doesn't get annoyed with the person. He addresses as the Spirit working through that person. Very important. He addresses the Spirit. And it's a spirit of divination. It's one of the few times that a spirit is given a name in the book of Acts. A spirit of divination. It's fortune telling. It's about knowledge. And actually this spirit was keeping people captive by declaring that I know Paul, which is true. He was a servant of the Most High. I know things about Paul. But it was also trying to keep people serving the deceiving spirit. Mixture of truth and lies. And many times, you know, we need discernment, not just for what's completely wrong, but for things that seem to be right, but they're absolutely the wrong spirit. Now, Paul says to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." So he confronted, he spoke in faith, and the spirit came out of that girl, and she was free, and Paul was free. Because this spirit is actually, divination is, the Greek translation is python. It was, when a python comes, it's the kind of snake that coils around you and starts to slowly crush, suffocate, and actually take the breath out of you, the life. And wherever there's breath, it's speaking about your spiritual life. And sometimes as we walk serving God, there can be these evil spirits that come to take the breath out, that squeeze the life out of us. We're not doing anything wrong. We're not sinning. It's a spiritual attack against Paul and against the fruitfulness of the gospel. And Paul, you notice he got annoyed? And sometimes we have to get to boiling point against the enemy before we'll use our authority. And I think maybe Paul was praying, "What's going on here, Lord? Why am I getting annoyed?" A bit like me. This is the enemy. This is the work of the enemy. And we need to address it, and we need to command the enemy to flee. The other situation, I'm not going to look at it with you through the scriptures, but you can look at it yourself in 1 Samuel 17, was David. And he was anointed to be the king of Israel, but as of that time, he wasn't. He was just someone who walked with God. He was a worshiper. He saw victories personally. And you remember the army of Israel, the people of God, they were in a battle with the Philistine army. And nothing, not a shot was fired. But what would happen is every day, actually day and night, Goliath, this huge giant would come out and intimidate them with his words and say, you pick one man from your team to fight me. And everything about Goliath loomed large. And that's what the enemy does. When he uses fear and intimidation, your problem looms large, gets so big it overwhelms you and it actually dominates your life. And Jesus came for us to be free, not dominated by intimidation or fear of something bad happening. People who live with, I'm not talking about fear of spiders. I'm talking about fear of big things, of not making it, not surviving, fear of death, fear of sickness, fear of everything going wrong. God has not given us, as children of God, a spirit of fear, but of power, of love and a sound mind. And so Goliath would come and intimidate. And if you've ever been intimidated day and night, and often the day starts with it, the night starts with it, goes through the day and the night, you need to know there's a spirit behind it. There is a spirit of fear, not just a feeling of fear. And the scriptures unlock to us the key for victory starts with what David did. He walked onto that field and he looked at the situation with God's eyes, with faith in God. God's here. God doesn't want this to happen. This is not right. Immediately he says, this isn't in harmony with God's will. God does not want his people intimidated, fearful, on the back foot, doing nothing, because often fear makes you do nothing. You don't move towards the future and hope God has for you, because there's a Goliath in the way. And let's call this demon a Goliath, or a spirit of fear and intimidation, because it can be moved through faith and using our faith to command this evil spirit to go. And David actually said, how dare you defy the armies of the living God? In other words, how dare you oppose? How dare you challenge? And he says, I command you. He came against that evil spirit working through that giant. I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. The name above all is the name of Jesus. And we have victory through the name. But we need to use our faith and issue a command, like General Wainwright. I'm taking charge. And I love this because David wasn't just doing it for himself. He was doing it for other people. And you know, other people won't be free until we take charge of the spiritual atmosphere around us. We are to take charge, church. We're here to reign in life. We're here to bring the kingdom, which means the rule of God on earth as it is in heaven. David was doing the will of God when he addressed this evil spirit that was intimidating God's people. And finally, the third spirit that I'd like to unmask. If you turn to Luke, we just look at this briefly. Excuse me, I'm a bit croaky today. But it won't stop me speaking, and I hope it's not hindering your listening. Luke chapter 13. Jesus is teaching in one of the synagogues in verse 10. And there is a woman there. And she had a spirit of infirmity. I want you to notice the word says a spirit of infirmity or a spirit of affliction. 18 years established, been working a long time on this woman. Not in her, upon her. And she was bent over. Her spine had, she'd got this condition where her spine was locked over and she couldn't raise herself up. When Jesus saw her, I believe he said, that's not right. I think we've just got to get into the mind and heart of Jesus right here. And he looks and he doesn't just say, oh, bless her, she's got a problem. He looks and says, with righteousness, what's right in God's eyes is not this. That's not right. I think a lot of situations Christians can just accept, and the enemy would love it if we just accept it. Like the Japanese who says, let's just keep behaving like we're in control. And Christians just lie down, doormat, walk over. But no, we need to start saying, that just is not right. And the words he spoke in faith, just speaks out, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. You are loosed from your affliction. Now this word loosed is like, means when you've been bound, like with a rope or tied or restricted. Jesus used his authority and he loosed and commanded that spirit to leave effectively. You are loosed from this. He didn't shout, he just spoke with authority. He believed that what he said would happen. And he put his hands on her and she was immediately made straight. And then later on, Jesus was addressing the Pharisees, but he also spoke in verse 16 about how this was a righteous healing. It was a righteous deliverance. First the woman was delivered, then she was healed. Verse 16, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it. I think the heart of God is in that. Think. Think what it would be like 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. And I want to say to you, you may have a long-standing issue in your body, but God's saying to you today, this didn't ought to be. This isn't right. And you need healing. But you also need to be loosed from that affliction. And sometimes affliction, a spirit of affliction, will work in tying you up into addiction, alcoholism. Sometimes it's not just a natural thing. It can be a spiritual thing. And that's why we need discernment. If you've prayed and believed and trusted God to be free, and you know that you're under your commander-in-chief, today is a day we're going to take charge and say, no more will you be afflicted with this spirit of addiction or this spirit that causes pain or a less than life physically in your body. The problem here that Jesus identified, it was an evil spirit. And not every healing, not every sickness is to do with a demon. I mean, Satan's behind it all through the fall, through sin and Satan. But Jesus came to restore it all and to bring us back to the abundance of life. And life isn't life when you're not winning. Abundant life isn't abundant when you're not seeing the victory. And so these three enemies that we face, this spirit of divination. I wonder if you could just agree where you are today. If you're in your home or if you're listening online right now, we're going to have a time of ministry and the Holy Spirit is going to move through faith. And I believe that as you and I submit to God, our commander-in-chief, and as we resist the devil, he will flee. But I'd like you to speak and act as I speak and act. So it's not just me saying it, but you were in your homes or maybe you're with somebody who needs this freedom, this breaking free today of some kind of bondage, some kind of being tied up by the enemy, some kind of python spirit or this spirit of fear, panic attacks. Come on, let's see. As the Lord sees and say, no, we come against these evil spirits that are producing these effects in people's lives. Before we act, you know, speaking in faith is what Paul did. I command you in the name of Jesus. Nothing happened until he said it, until he used his faith and authority. Jesus, nothing happened until he spoke it. And David, nothing happened until he said it. We've got to speak our faith and declare and take charge and say, no, you're under our command now. And we're going to see the victory in people's lives. I'm going to see the victory through our lives for other people. When you go into a public building, and you know, sometimes I've been in an airport where the lights go off when it's not being used. But, you know, there are motion sensors. As you walk in, all the lights go on. And that's what will happen. As you move, God will move. And darkness will flee. And light will come. The kingdom of God will come upon you. And so today is a day of victory, guys. Because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, let's stand and thank him right now. If you want to sit, stand, do whatever, but let's respond. Let's thank him that our commander-in-chief won the victory on the cross. Jesus, thank you. That all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. In heaven and earth and under the earth. And that the name of Jesus is above every name. And you have been raised above every power and principality and authority. And that you are Lord. And Lord, thank you that you have given your church, believing believers, authority over all the power of the evil one. Thank you today through your word, Satan is unmasked. Thank you that today, Lord, we can see there are spirits behind what's going on. And this annoyance in us, Lord, let it be something that before we even speak, we know these situations we are facing aren't right. Whether they're economic, physical, whether they are just this oppression and this squeezing the life out of people, we thank you, Lord, that we can be greatly annoyed at the work of the enemy today. Because it isn't going on here on earth as it is in heaven, and that's your will. Lord, as we surrender to you, just submit your life afresh to him. It's really important that if you've been walking out of fellowship with God and others, confess your sin. Just say sorry. Come, return to Jesus and submit to him. It's the place of victory. Father, thank you that we can surrender our lives today and make this a real moment of power. Not a message we're hearing online, but your presence and your word right here, right now. We submit to you. Thank you, you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy, so he has to submit to us. You're our commander-in-chief. And Lord, we are here to take charge in your name. So in your name, let's speak to the enemy now, not to Jesus. In your name, we command every spirit of divination working against God's people and against the fruitfulness of God's people. This deceiving spirit, really, in operation. We bind you in Jesus' mighty name. We command you leave God's people alone. And you leave the people we're witnessing to alone. Go in Jesus' name. Lord, I just believe that people are going to be freed up through this moment of commanding and taking charge over these spirits that want to squeeze life out. Thank you that you put life in, and we breathe in your spirit. Refresh, restore us, Lord, that we're so filled with your spirit, nothing will harm us. In Jesus' name. And Lord, like King David, we just say to every looming large giant, problem, situation that brings intimidation and fear, day and night. Come on, church, let's speak. Let's speak to that spirit. We speak to you, spirit of fear and intimidation, and we command you, flee in Jesus' name. Leave now. Any panic attacks and any unreasonable fears and thoughts in the night, Lord, we recognize it's a spirit world fight. And so we take the fight to where it is. And we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, stop speaking. Amen. We silence you. You know, when Goliath, I've just had this word, when Goliath was speaking, it was like spirit of fear coming out of his mouth, words. So silencing the enemy is stops him from saying, and fear stops in Jesus' name. Fear stops right now in Jesus' name. And finally, beloved, is there anyone who's bent over, worn out, a person of faith, doing everything right, but you've never seen a victory in your physical condition? There's healing today. Let's come to Jesus in this moment. Jesus called the woman to himself. Let's just come to Jesus. And we're going to speak together and take authority in his name as if he was doing it and loose you from that affliction. Male or female, or child, repeated, ongoing, daily, been there for a long time. Father, thank you for the victory in the name of Jesus. And I command freedom. I loose you from your affliction, from your spirit, the spirit of infirmity. I loose you and command the enemy, let you go. Jesus, you said, whatever we loose on earth will be loosed. And in Jesus' name, you're free. Now put your hand on your body, and maybe if you're with anybody there, in the name of Jesus Christ, as if Jesus was laying hands on you, be restored and healed. Let the healing power of Jesus flood your body. Be healed, because he already achieved that healing for you. It's not right you're sick. Be healed. Be strengthened. Disease, leave. Troubling issues. Been going on a long time. Asthma, leave. That in the name of Jesus, leave. Breathing problems, leave in Jesus' name. Lungs, be free. Just speak to lungs to be free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Not only are we to live in this freedom, but Lord, make us ministers of the freedom of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we live like Jesus, who walked around looking at people, saying, this did not ought to be like this. May we get annoyed at what the enemy's doing. I pray your word today will have stirred our hearts to not settle for what we see, but to only settle for your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Let's use what God has given us, beloved. And the victory is ours today, and we will see and continue to enforce it until Jesus returns. This is part of our great salvation, authority over the enemy. May God bless you as you win in life through the one Jesus Christ. I'm just going to finish with a notice next Sunday. If you would like to join us, we'd love to take communion together as a body and all those who are joining us online. So if you could prepare bread and wine, whether it's fruit juice or a piece of cracker or whatever it is. And I just want us to take communion again together as a body. It's part of who we are, and we're to remember always what Jesus has done. So get that ready for next weekend. We'll send an email to all of those who belong to the church. God bless you. Have an amazing, victorious week in Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.